There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and say, I'm a this man from sea to shining sea. I love this man all up and brave and free. I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth on which we stand. One nation under God. I love this land. All across this country, in big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing Amazing Grace. They're free to worship Jesus, and they are free to pray. I love this land. And the truth on which we stand, one nation under God. I love this
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
know, praise the Lord this morning for those who have bled and died for us, those who have served, and those who are currently serving. If you are a veteran, would you please stand this morning? We want to honor you and publicly thank God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for answering the call to serve the country. What a blessing that is.
Go back in a minute,
and that's right, that is right. You just never, never know what may happen, and appreciate you guys, appreciate all the men and women, again, who have served and who are currently serving our wonderful country. We just thank you today on that end. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see you this morning. I hope everybody has had a good week. And hope the devil has left you alone. I'm sure he has. No problems from him. And I say that sarcastically. I know that he wastes no arrows. He is always shooting at the righteous. But you are in the right place this morning to come and get your wounds bound up and receive strength to continue on through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking forward to the service this morning. So good to see you all. We do have some sick people, some updates we want to bring you up to date concerning, and then a few announcements, and then we will toss things back to Brother Allen. Got a call this week. Miss Pat Eccles broke her arm, and Brother Johnny called me as I was heading to go see Brother Chuck at his appointment this week. Said that Miss Pat broke her arm, says she has to get better because he needs help around the house. And so, you know, that sounds just like Brother Johnny. And he said it and he laughed. And so I appreciate his good humor and their relationship that they have. What a model couple they are. And but do pray for Miss Pat. Seems like she has an accident like this, and she gets better and she has another accident. I guess it was about a year ago. Somehow her leg got all tangled up in a dog chain outside and about took her leg off. But she had to spend some time healing from that. But let's pray for the Eccles this morning, Pat and Johnny both. We mentioned Brother Chuck. We had prayer for him last Sunday night along with some others. But he had a great doctor's visit on Monday there at St. Joseph. And we're two for two on the heart casts. Meaning no stents were in placed or placed there in the heart of Brother Chuck. We praise the Lord for that. I said we're two for two because Brother Bobby didn't have any new ones placed to his appointment. And so we appreciate the good Lord answering prayer. God answers prayer, doesn't he? And the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Energetic prayer, passionate prayer, just locking in prayer. God answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. But we praise the Lord for this situation with Chuck. Do continue to remember him. Doctor called back and said he does have congestive heart failure. And so he's going to continue on just doing his health endeavors like he has been doing. And so we know that the Lord will help him through that. And we appreciate the Lord giving us doctors, for giving us medicine to help along those lines. Brother Jeff Hodges goes on the 17th. That's this coming up Friday, I believe it is, for a surgery. And he's going to have a mass removed from his kidney, so remember him in your prayers. Hassan goes sometime this month. We've talked about this several times. 24th. That's okay. Let's pray for Hassan. Also, friends of Jim Jr. and Miss Dawn Daly. Have a friend up in Canada named Ben Turner, ironically enough, that has brain cancer. And he was supposed to start his chemo, and that was delayed. And so they're picking those things back up and continuing that. So let's remember that request. Also, Brother Jim's son-in-law has surgery, and remember him on his recovery. And don't mean to embarrass this this gentleman, but a friend of mine, Brother Ricky here in the back, he had requested prayer. We prayed for him as well on Sunday night. If you remember, we lifted several people up. Liver biopsy on Tuesday, I believe you went to go have. And so we're still praying for you, brother, on that. And good to see them both here with us this morning, friends of ours. And a friend of Miss Marianne Sanvey had passed away. That's where Sharon and Marianne is at now. They're actually in Ocala, Florida, and being with the family during this time, the funeral and all. So remember this situation when you pray. Many know that are familiar with the children's home and have heard here a couple times. Miss Sherry Croft works in administrations in the front office. Her husband went home to be with the Lord the other day, and Stan passed away. And so from what I read, the funeral services for him will be on Monday at 11 at West Cobb Funeral Home. And so please remember Miss Sherry. She makes a lot of things work there in the office, and she's been there for a number of years. And Brother Snyder will be preaching this funeral service. So remember that when you pray. All right, a few upcoming events, a few announcements. Appreciate those who showed up at the tree lot this past Tuesday to help, but I'm putting out another announcement for some more help this coming Tuesday at 7 o'clock. The tent needs to be put up, and that couldn't be put up yesterday because of the rain. And so if we have some able-bodied men or young people that will donate a few, just a little bit of their time on Tuesday at 7, that will be greatly appreciated to get this tent up. Christmas time is coming, and the trees will be in, if not already in, and those things sell fast. And this is just a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And so please remember that this Tuesday at 7 p.m. to put up the tent. Also, remember, next Sunday night at 5 o'clock will be our Thanksgiving fellowship dinner. We have the sign-up sheet to my right, to your left. Food items, table decorating, you know the drills. Nothing new to you. May be new to some of our visitors, but please sign up on that sheet and for the table decorating for your family and also food items. One last thing before we pray. Our hallway is done. Give a round of applause for this. Hey, if no one else is excited, I'm excited about it. And guess what? You paid for it. You paid for that out there. The church didn't pay for that. You paid for that. The money that was raised at the yard sale, the donations that were given, I want to express from my heart to you, to your heart, thank you for making your church more better, the house of the Lord. And I just wanted to share that not only is it done, but you paid for it. That carries a whole other meaning to that project there. And so we praise the Lord for that, and we're not stopping there. We're planning some more fundraisers. We're going to hit the New Year's running so we can work our way into the foyer of the sanctuary. Got some other ideas as far as technology is concerned. So there's no finish line is what I'm saying. We're going to keep on going, reaching out to our community. Brother Harold. Remember this, Brother Harold. God bless you. And
hey, brother. Angie White Walton.
Yes, sir. I do.
Their family needs prayer. So if you would, remember Angie.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning that request, brother. It's so good to see you again. And we're praying for Miss Angie. Someone else? Sharing that. Let's remember Brother James Townsend with some new health issues going on. They're going to the heart doctor in the morning. And so I sense that there's many needs this morning, and physically, probably maybe even be some mental needs, financial needs, whatever the needs may be. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I know God wants to do something special this morning, and I feel like I have the exact message for this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just take a moment to say, first of all, thank you, Lord, for the salvation that's found in Jesus. And Father, we just are so very thankful that our destination is heaven and not a place called hell. Lord, we experience ups and downs, and we're in, we're out. While we're upon this earth, you've heard the prayer request this morning physically. One being in hospice care, a friend of mine I know very well, Miss Angie. And then, of course, Brother James, who's not well, going to the doctor tomorrow, and all these other needs. Those who have passed, funerals that are planned, those that are discouraged, those that are depressed, Lord, those that are hanging by a thread this morning. I pray for them. And Father, I pray that you would visit them in a very special way this morning. I pray you would touch their hearts, Holy Spirit. Just minister to their souls, Lord. This is only 1 hour we're together this morning. And some may not be able to be back tonight, so this is it for them. And so, Father, I pray for a heavenly touch from God, like we preached last Sunday, a touch from the Master's hand. We're trusting that you'll do that today. I do pray that you give us the ears of the people, the attention of the listener. And I pray through the music that we sing, hearts will be touched. And through the message, hearts will be touched. And at invitation time, Lord, pray that you would save the lost and bless the saved. We love you today, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Church, if you will stand with me. Choir, stand with me as well. You would think after everything you've heard this morning, we'd sing something just kind of soft and slow and, you know, maybe just kind of try and draw us out a little bit about what we're going through. But I'm glad to know that this world is not my home. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. And I'm headed to a land, Tim, that's far better than this one. I'm going to a place where there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no need for doctors over there. Even the master physician won't have to perform any more surgeries or any more miracles on us physically. For we are going to be at home with Jesus. I have 2 funerals to go to this week, and I've got a list. As long as you're on, I'd never be able to remember them all. Some very serious prayer requests. But I'm glad to know that the Lord knows all about them. Amen. But I'm here to tell you this morning that when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen. Turn with me and let's sing something just kind of lift the spirit this morning. Page 393, when we all get to heaven. Says sing, and I really want you to. You ready? Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We remember all of these prayer requests this morning, and I'm sure if we took the time that we could surely come up with a list much longer than what you've heard already. A lot of folks going through some very difficult times. The holidays are hard times, especially when you lose a loved one during this time of year. It's a hard time, and we just need to lift each other up in prayer. Amen? Oh, that's weak. We need to lift each other up in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to know that we can cast all of our cares on Him, because He cares for us like no other. I'm thankful for the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Please remember all of the announcements. Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and Christmas is right behind that. So we ask that you please be much in prayer for the choir. Choir, I'll let you know in a little bit what time we're going to get together this evening. We've got some folks out that are sick and unable to be here today, and we surely want to lift them up in prayer. We miss them when they're not able to be here with us. But Father, we love You. And Lord, we turn to You this morning because we know that our help and our strength comes from You. And Lord, we just want to do exactly what we said, just cast all of our cares upon You, because we know that You care for us like no other. Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes we get down. Lord, sometimes we get disheartened. Lord, because of sickness and disease and all of these things that we all go through. But we know that we have studied and found in Your Word that trouble is going to come. But Lord, I'm so thankful that we can call on You. You are an ever-present help in a time of need. God, I pray that You just strengthen us this morning, lift us up above the shadows and the cares of this old world. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be set on You this morning. We've come this way that we might hear from heaven. Touch our pastor. Speak through him, Lord, what we need to hear. Be with us. May our hearts be open to receive Your word. Bless the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Lord, we'll praise You for all that You do, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
thing, I just wanted to say a little something. This morning in Sunday school, CJ was talking about where we had a crazy week. Just, it seems like every time the phone rings, I told him, the phone rings again, I don't think I'm going to answer it. But it's just one thing after another. And he talked about, where do we turn when times are hard? And obviously, sitting in Sunday school, everybody's to the Lord, to Scripture, and we do. But sometimes I feel like the human side does that a little late. I know I do. You get caught up with four kids running in all the directions. It's easy just to get caught up in maybe complaining or worrying or just spinning out of control. And if we just went to the foot of the cross first, how many of those things would not happen? You know, we wouldn't spin out of control. And then in the prayer request this morning, I looked down and saw this page sitting there that we're going to sing next, and I thought, again, like if we would just go to the foot of the cross first. So I just encourage you this morning, if your week has been heavy like ours and crazy, or maybe you just have some things that are weighing heavy on your heart, that you would turn to the foot of the cross. And I would even encourage you while we're singing, just come now so you can just lay that down at His feet, because it is at the foot of the cross where we find joy and peace. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I can go to the foot of the cross immediately, and we can be anywhere and God hears us, and I'm thankful for that.
Broken by sin and all its illusion, I weigh the hang against the law.
Chapter number 23. What a blessing. Honey in the rock. Honey in the rock. I do want to mention this morning a prayer request, and I don't mention them last on purpose But remember my wife in prayer, please. Remember Miss Christy. And she's under the weather this morning. And you know as well as I do, she'd be here if she could. And so just remember her in your prayers if you would. And so we appreciate that. Joshua chapter number 23 this morning. I do want to take a moment and bow for a word of prayer just to slow things down a bit. And I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. I want to stay right in step with Him. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You, Lord. You are our honey. And I'm thankful this morning that we can experience You in the good times, but also the bad times. Even in the mundane, day-to-day grind, oh God, we can experience You. You are our peace. You're our contentment. You're our joy, our hope. We love You, Lord. We love You. I pray in the next few moments You would hide me behind the cross. Give me a clear head and a calm heart. Father, help me gird up the loins of my mind. Holy Spirit, use me as a conduit by which Your word and Your power goes forth to touch the hearts of Your people. Save souls, encourage the saints, would be my prayer. We love You today, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Here in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua is an old man now. At this particular point in his life, he had taken the mantle that came to him from Moses, or he has been carrying on the torch. And he faithfully led the people of God to the promised land. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Joshua.
So he gives a word of encouragement to the people of God before passing off the scene. He reminds them of all that God hath done for them in days gone by. Then he assures them, notice this, that God will continue to help them now. You see, there were still areas in Canaan that hasn't been taken yet. There were still fights that had to be fought. There were still victories that had to be won. There was still joy to be experienced. So Joshua spends time in this chapter before he dies
encouraging and exhorting and challenging the people of God to continue to fight. He encourages them, he challenges them to continue to depend upon God. He encourages them, he challenges them to continue to strive to receive all that God had for them. And so that's what's taking place here. And with that said, I want you to follow along as I read in verse number 1 down through verse number 8 of Joshua 23. Verse 1, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you, Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. Verse number 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. Ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from them, therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. And then in verse number 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. That's reading this morning, Joshua chapter number 23, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. I want to call your attention, and I want you to notice in verse number 1, the word had. It came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies. Verse number 3, the words have and hath. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And then in verse number 5, the word shall and shall. And the Lord your God, he shall expel from them before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and he shall possess, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Verse number 1 and 3 is past tense concerning the things that the Lord hath done. Verse number 5 is present and future tense, speaking of the things that God will do. So we see here that God has helped Israel, and God will help Israel once again. But this message isn't to Israel as it is to you and I. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject if I could. He will do it again. He will do it again. Someone may be here this morning facing big challenges, and you feel uncertain about the outcome. I want to encourage you this morning that God will see you through if you trust him. Now, don't tune me out this morning. Don't yawn. Don't shake your watch. Yes, this is another message about struggle and heartache and heartbreak, and that there's help in the midst thereof. But I don't know anybody this morning that's not struggling with some kind of problem. So you need to hear this. Philippians 1:6 says, don't turn there, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God will help you again. If you are saved by the grace of God and you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, that verse, Philippians 1:6, says that we can be confident if God had started something, he will finish something. God this morning will do it again. He will help you once again concerning whatever facet you may be in life that you're struggling in. I want to share 3 things from this chapter this morning. And I hope that it'll be a help to you. That's my prayer. So 3 things concerning he will do it again. Number 1, we see God and his past faithfulness. And of course, that's found verse number 1 and verse number 3. And in these verses, we see that God has helped the people of God. Who would agree this morning that God has helped you in times gone by? I'm sure we all could take time and we could go around the room one by one and say that God has helped me in my life. And what a blessing that is to know that and have the experiences to draw from that God has helped. And that's what we see here again, verse number 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies. And again, verse number 3, he says, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And so we see that God has helped Israel, and we know that God has helped us. But when we're looking at Israel, we see that God's past faithfulness goes back to Moses' day, but even beyond Moses' day. For example, we know that there was a time where God led the people of Israel out of Egypt by the hand of Moses. They were in Egyptian bondage for hundreds of years. They were slaves, and they were beaten, and they were made to do things that weren't good or great. And so the Lord led them out of that bondage house. And it's called an exodus, going out of Egypt and then going into the land of Canaan. And so God in the past was faithful to Israel, led them out of bondage and into the promised land through the hand of Joshua. Those of us this morning that are saved and know Jesus as our personal Savior, He too has led us out of a house of bondage. He has led us away from the wicked one who had dominion over us. And now we are on an exodus to get to heaven, Canaan land, so to speak. And so the Lord has been faithful to do that to Israel in times gone by, but He's also faithful to do that for us. And then we have the occasion of the Red Sea and how that the Lord, when Israel's back was against the wall, they couldn't go to the left, they couldn't go backwards, they had to go forward, but there was that wall of water there. Even then, God performed a miracle and allowed them to pass through on dry ground. Anybody can reminisce over some times where your back was against the wall and you couldn't depend on nobody, couldn't go to the left, couldn't go to the right, couldn't go back, you had to go forward. You didn't know how it would be done, but God was faithful and performed a miracle, and He opened up that situation in your life. What a blessing it is that we serve a God who has been faithful. But what about the time when Moses led Israel not only out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, but they came to a place called Marah. And they were all thirsty. They haven't drank in water in many days, and they needed a drink. And so they went to bend down to drink from Marah, but they could not drink of the waters because the waters were bitter waters. And we know that they complained to Moses, and Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when that tree was cast into those waters, those bitter waters were made sweet. And so Israel experienced the bittersweet experience, where those bitter times, by applying the cross, that tree, things were different. Not only them, but you and I this morning, I'm sure, can testify of being at some bitter places in our life, where things didn't go our way and we were betrayed and maybe even lied on, spat on even maybe, like Jesus was, cursed at, told us we were no good. We were at a bitter place, but because of the cross, because we chose to apply the cross to our situation, God was able to turn our bitter waters sweet. God is a faithful God this morning. But then there was a time where they were thirsty again. And they came to a rock. And we know that Moses was told to strike the rock and that water would come out. And we know that he did that, and water come gushing out. And so the people of God were able to drink from a very hard place in their life, receive refreshment during that hard time. How many here today could say that you have been in dry places? You have been on hard grounds and hard, difficult intersections of your life, but somehow, in some way, through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, He has allowed you to receive refreshment, talking about God and his past faithfulness, how that he was faithful to Joshua and his men, but it surpassed Joshua's day, to Moses' day. And we don't have time, but even beyond and back before Moses' day, serving a God who's been faithful. But even with Joshua, when Moses died and Joshua was chosen to be the general and to lead them into Canaan land, even then Joshua led them through the Jordan River. It was a time where the waters were swelled up upon the banks, the time of harvest. And God told Joshua, "Joshua, be of good courage. You are the leader now. Moses is dead. You have your way. New style, new person. You're younger. And listen, don't let them think anything against you. You just follow my orders and lead." And Joshua did that, and God rolled back those waters upon a heap and allowed them to go through on dry ground. And so they have crossed Jordan. And then there's Jericho, and it was bolted and it was barred because they got word the people of God are rising up and moving towards them. They were scared, but yet that was the place that belonged to Israel. And we know that it was at Jericho when God gave some instructions that didn't make sense. "Joshua, I want you to walk one time a day around those walls for 6 days. And on that seventh day, I want you to walk 7 times. And then I want you to blow the trumpets." And listen, that was crazy, I'm sure, to a lot of the people. But Joshua received the word of the Lord. Although it didn't make sense, he moved forward and he walked and he marched. I'm sure some of the men, "Joshua, what are we doing? We're walking around Jericho like we're crazy. Oh, keep going, men. Keep going. God gave me this word. We must keep going." And then on that last lap, the trumpets were blown and those walls came down. This is a God we're talking about this morning who, when he works and moves in our life, it doesn't always make sense, but he is working and moving if we'll just trust him. We serve a God who has been faithful and who will continue to be faithful. This morning, God will help you again. God will help you again. Not to mention all the enemies that were defeated in the land that Israel subdued. We see that, number one, this morning, God and his past faithfulness. Let me move a step further. Not only do we see God and his past faithfulness, but number two, we see God and his future promises. We see that God promises to help the people of God. Who agrees this morning that God wants to help us now and in the future? Not only we can agree that God has helped, but we all can agree that God wants to help. Verse number 4, he says, "And the Lord your God, he shall expel." That word "expel" means to drive out. "He shall expel them from before you." Then, of course, drop down, he says, "and drive them out from out of their land," or "and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you." Shall. He did it before and he'll do it again. He shall help us. So we see that God promises to help the people of God here. And no doubt he did. But not only did he promise to help the people of God here, but he promises to help the people of God here. Because all through Scripture you read principle and promise, principle and promise, how God wants us to overcome. God wants us to have joy and peace. We're told in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, through the power that worketh in us." And so God wants us. He has promises. He wants us to abound. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to live a life in victory. I want you to notice in verse number 4. In verse number 4 this morning, we see that God has more. Look at verse 4. "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain." God had more for Israel. Stay with me this morning. God had more, more for Israel. We thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what He has done in our life. And we thank the Lord for what we have in our life. But church, God has more. God has more that He wants to bless you with. God has more that He wants to do in your life. God, we see in this verse, God had more. There were some lots that were left that still remained. God has more. God still has more for you in your life. He has more joy,
more peace, more contentment, more purposes. There was more to be had. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy where you're at right now in your Christian journey? Are you saying, is the devil telling you, well, that's it? Struggle after struggle, day after day, storm after storm, that's it? Is that what you're hearing in your ears and your heart? Well, this morning I want to refute that and say, that's not it. Because God has a purpose and a plan. You've heard it your whole life, I'm sure. But there is more God wants to do. This is not it. There's more joy to be found. Is your joy 110% full this morning? Do you have anxiety and fears this morning? If your joy is not 110% full, if you have fears and anxiety, there's more. Our life, it should not be a Christian journey of anxiety and fear, walking around with half-filled joy. Jesus wants us to be filled with the joy of the Lord. That don't mean we walk around with a permanent smile on our face. We'll be labeled psychos. But it means you'll have peace in the storm. That means that you can continue walking with God although everything is falling apart. There is more to be had in our Christian experience. When was the last time that we won anybody to the Lord? I'm asking myself that. When was the last time I led somebody to Jesus? I have led people to Jesus. But when was the last time? If it's been a while, there's more.
There's more people that need to be led to Jesus. When's the last time I had a victory when the tempter was coming and by the way it looked, I was going to give in and sink in my fears and I did. When was the last time I experienced true battlefield victory where the devil says, you're down? And I said, I'm not. And I walked off in victory. When was the last time I experienced that? When was the last time you experienced that? If you haven't in the last little while, listen, there's more. There's more for you. God says that I have a promise to help you go into that land and take those lots that still remain. I have more for you. But I want you to notice something in verse number 5. This came to me last night. And I got excited and laughed at the same time. It's funny. When you enter into a spirit of meditation, what God can show you. Look at verse 5. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you. Justin, what's so crazy about that? We have property that needs to be claimed, church. But there's a problem. There's squatters in our property. Has anybody ever heard of a squatter? You know what a squatter is? Let me give you the Webster's definition of a squatter. A squatter, a person who unlawfully occupies an inhabited building or unused land. A settler with no legal title to the land occupied. This morning, there are some things sitting in our life that is hindering us from experiencing the joy of the Lord. There are some things that are sitting and weighing on us heavy this morning that are stopping us from witnessing to someone else. What is it that's sitting in your life that needs to go? We have a squatting problem. There were squatters in the land. And the Lord, through Joshua, says that, He says, I will help you go into the land and drive out the squatters. Listen, I've seen on the news this thing with these squatters. And it's sad. Not for the squatters. For the homeowners or the renters. It's sad and it makes me angry. I seen one case not long ago. I mean, there was a man and I guess his friend. They had gone into the house. The man has a couple houses. They go into his house and they took up residence. And they said, no, we live here. Had no legal documents, nothing tying them to the place. And the cop said, we just can't drive them out. I still don't understand that. Maybe they're doing that. I just don't see it. But you hear these stories, and they interviewed the man. He said, I can't believe this. This is my house. This house belongs to me, and these squatters are in my house. I'm angry. I thought, how sad and how angry it makes me feel. Should make all of us feel that these squatters, now God bless them. I mean, listen, some of them are homeless, and I've got different emotions about that. But listen, you've got to work and try. It's not someone else's obligation to take care of a person like that their whole life. And if they're not trying, they're sitting in someone's house and squatting that don't belong to them. Shame on them. But comparing to our life, the devil is squatting in some areas. He may be squatting in someone's family. He may be squatting in someone's marriage saying, I'm here. I'm ruling this marriage. Y'all ain't never getting back together. In fact, she's probably seeing someone right now and he's seeing someone right now. The devil is probably squatting. You're at, and my words to you is God has more. There's squatters in your life like there is my life. It's time to drive them out. God is saying through Joshua, the squatters have to go. There's some things sitting in our life that must go. There are those things that don't belong there, and they're hindering our joy and peace and contentment. Look at verse number 5. Not only God has more, but God will help. We've been saying that this whole message. Verse 5, and the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land. Speaking, he mentions it as the squatter's land, but it's the people's land, and the squatters are just squatting in the land. You shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. He says, God shall help you. God will help you. God will do it again. God will do it again. He will help. Again, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And then Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able. God can do it again. God wants to do it again, and he will do it again. Let me mention a third thing. Not only do we see God in his past faithfulness, verse 1 through 3. Number 2, God in his future promises, verse 4 and 5. But then in verse number 6 through 8, we see God and his present conditions. His present conditions. We see God, through Joshua, lays out some conditions in order to secure their success. Who would agree this morning that there's conditions to be met? It's not, victory is just not going to fall in your lap. Do we agree with that? And so verse number 6, notice what he says. He says, be courageous. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. He says, be courageous. That word courageous means to seize or fasten upon. What is he saying? Well, in connection to the rest of the text, he's saying here, fasten and focus on God's word and what it says. Notice he says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And so he says, be courageous to hope in God's word. The circumstances may look opposite of how you feel. In other words, the circumstances may look like you're going down, you're going to die. God's word says you're going to make it. Be courageous and hope in his word in spite of what circumstances look like. That's an act of courage to do that. Because I'll tell you right now, you get a phone call from the doctor and says you have cancer. It's hard to be courageous during that time. But when we hope in his word, and we trust in his word, and we know that whatever comes into our life is filtered to the hands of God. We know he's working it for some purpose. We may not like it. We may disagree with it. But at least there's purpose for our pain. And so when you get that, it's hard to do. But what other option do we have than to hope in his word? And when we hope in his word and we digest his promises and we live by his principles, there is a type of courage that rises from within. And we're able to go to those chemo appointments and take our chemotherapy and come home. We don't like it. We disagree with it. We wish it never happened. But we know that God is still God. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. His word says we're suffering with purpose. There's courage that arises from strengthening God's word. And we're able to move forward. You can go down the list, all the different problems we can experience. He says there is a condition in securing your success, and that is to be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Fasten upon the word of God. Seize the word of God. Your circumstance says one thing. God's word says another. What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Sometimes in life it seems like God contradicts himself. It seems that way. Again, it's not that way. It just seems that way. I always go back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham through he and Sarah's loins, their seed will eventually, the Messiah would come, bless all nations. We know they got ahead of God, and Hagar got involved. She was invited in the relationship. Ishmael came. Ishmael wasn't the promised seed. Still dealing with Ishmaels. Anytime we get ahead of God, we're always going to deal with those consequences. They're never going to leave. They're always going to be there. But thank God we serve a God of second chances, because Isaac still came. He was the promised seed. And so there came a day where God said, God, because they feel like God has contradicted His word. God, you said my life was going to be a blessing, but it's just been a pain. You're a liar. They're not looking at life through the pages and the perspective of Bible principles. Sometimes life looks like God is contradicting Himself, but He's not. We're always approaching some type of test of faith. That was the test Abraham faced. And he passed the test. He passed the test. He says in another place, Lord, I'm going to do this. You promised me through my son the Messiah would come. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. You're telling me now to offer him to you for a sacrifice. But I believe even if he dies and I kill him, you can still raise him up to fulfill your promise. That's the kind of faith that God is after. This morning, this is what we see, that we see that there is a condition here. Be courageous in God's word. Child of God, what you're going through this morning, however rocky or bumpy or just different, something you never experienced before, cling to the word of God and don't pay attention to how things look. Let me mention this, and I'm wrapping it up. Obeying God's word, meditating in God's word, it will give strength and courage. We've said that. Verse number 6, he says this, again in verse 6, the latter part, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. What is that? What's at the right hand and the left? He's telling us to walk straight and walk in the word, obey the word the best we can. He says, don't turn to the right or to the left. What that is distractions. Distractions. We get distracted in life when we're walking with God with exit ramps. Not only exit ramps, but we get distracted with and tempted with these exit ramps and detours, don't we? We get ourselves straight. We get lined up. We've committed ourselves to the Lord. We're saved already, but we have rededicated, maybe even for some, committed a situation. We're lined up. We're heading straight with courage. But then there's this exit ramp or detour that tries to tell us to come this way or that way. Distractions. Distractions. There's times where I have so many distractions. One of the biggest times of distractions for me is Sunday mornings. I'm telling you, there are 999,000 distractions in my mind. I'm thinking about stuff that don't even matter. And it hits me on Sundays and Wednesdays and most days of the week. Turn not to the right hand, to the left. Nail it down. You're walking straight. Verse number 7. He says this. He says to refrain from this idea. You ever heard the phrase, if you can't beat them, join them? Verse 7, that ye come not among these nations. These that remain among you neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. He says there's going to be this temptation. If you can't beat them, join them. And there are Christians upon Christians who are weary from the fight. And instead of beating them, They just join the problem that they're facing. They just join the unrighteous in this world, the bad company. If they can't succeed, if they can't distance themselves from a person or if it's a place or thing, if they can't beat it, they just join them. We are called to be separate. We're called to move forward. We're called to have courage, and it comes from the Bible. So this morning, let us not pay attention to that temptation. Let's not come among them, join them, and be labeled as one of them, whoever they are. Last thing, and I'm done if they want to come. Verse number 8. So number 1 in verse 6, he says, be courageous. But I like verse number 8. He says, be sticky. He says, be sticky. Verse 8 says, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. That word cleave means to stick like glue. I said this before in a message. I like it. What kind of glue is in your Christian life? Elmer's glue or Gorilla glue? I mean, is your relationship with Jesus held together like old Elmer's glue? Remember that in school growing up? You know, you glue, cut out some stuff and glue it to paper and it just slip right off. I'll tell you what, I got some Gorilla glue at home. And I had to glue back on a little piece of my trim of my door of my car. I have the bad habit of when I open my door, I do it real hard for some reason. And I about rip the door handle off. I mean, it is 20 years old plus. I got some like Gorilla glue, and I put it in there and held it for a few seconds. Man, it is stuck. It ain't going nowhere. Joshua, based upon God giving him this message to give to the people, he says to cleave, stick to the Lord your God. Then he says, as ye have done unto this day. He says, I recognize you've been following God. You've been sticking to Him. Don't let this situation separate you from God, as though it could, because we know it can't. But the communion, the fellowship can be hindered. Don't let that happen. Stick to Him. Follow His Word. Don't believe everything you see and hear. Just take to His Word, and God will do it again. The message this morning is simply that, this God will do it again. And we see that God in His past faithfulness, God in His future promises, God in His present conditions. And this morning I pray that the message was a help and a blessing to you. Let's stand to our feet. We'll give a verse of invitation. There may be someone here that needs to come and pray. If you need to come and pray, you do that as we sing. Anybody else? Feel free to come if you need to come.